SpiritFMOnline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going.
Good evening to everyone. Thank you for tuning in. This is Eben. Well, I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And we are going to look into a few news items, and then we see what we can add to the time. The world is something else. I mean, if you follow the world news, we are seeing strange things happening, you know. And as Christians, what do? We just have to know that these are the times, these are the things the Bible talks about. But the most important thing is, these are not things that should cause us to be afraid. It should rather give us the understanding of the Bible and give us the encouragement that we are following the right thing. So we just have to keep doing what is right and keep believing in God. Okay, so greetings to listeners wherever they are, within Kumasi and outside Kumasi and outside the country. And the news is very loaded this week. Very loaded. If you've been following the world news, the US president is now behaving like an emperor, and he is just doing strange things. And the Greenland issues and all, it's quite, the world is really jittery, because it's like you just can't predict what is coming next. And the NATO and all, they are all confused, and they are just worried because it has never happened before that you have a NATO country. I mean, NATO means not, I mean, the Northern Atlantic Treaty Organization. That's the, I mean, the part of the European countries plus America and Canada. It's a joint alliance for, you know, security. So they have this Article 5. If you touch one, you've touched all. So they all have to come and defend. It's the same thing. This is the same NATO that Ukraine wanted to join and all that, that brought the Ukraine-Russia war. Now the U.S., who is the biggest, the big boy in the NATO group, is threatening another NATO member. I mean, it has never happened before, to the point where NATO nations have to start moving military and planes and all to Greenland. And it's like it's turning something else. Okay, let's start with it. NATO considering deploying fighter jets over Greenland, while Russia condemns Trump's rhetoric. A chilling new chapter in global tension is unfolding above the frozen wastes of the Arctic, where the specter of military confrontation now threatens one of the world's most remote frontiers. NATO, long the guarantor of Western security, is reportedly weighing the deployment of Eurofighter jets to Greenland, preparing for high-stakes dogfights in the sky as fears mount of an unprecedented U.S. push to seize control of the vast island. The crisis has erupted after U.S. President Donald Trump revived a controversial campaign to bring Greenland under the American dominion, arguing that the island's strategic position and untapped mineral wealth make it vital to national security. His rhetoric, once dismissed as fringe, now echoes across capitals in Europe and Moscow alike, drawing rare condemnation from the Kremlin, which called the situation extraordinary and reaffirmed its support for Danish sovereignty. Denmark and Greenland have stood firm, rejecting any notion of sale or takeover, insisting that the island's future rights lie with its people and the historic ties to Denmark and NATO. European NATO members, Germany, France, Sweden, Norway, and others are already moving forces into Greenland under Operation Arctic Endurance, a bold signal to the world that they will not relinquish Arctic stability to unilateral ambition. Diplomats warn the U.S. effort to seize Greenland, especially by force, would tear apart the fabric of NATO itself, potentially spelling the alliance's unraveling. This is something. Like modern day, you know, these things happened years back in, you know, when countries just go and capture another country, take over and all that. In 2026, it started 2025, they talk about it, and now we're moving to 2026. And it's as if we are in those medieval era where countries just annexed another, colonized another, and you don't expect that from a country no mean like America in this modern era. I mean, after taking over Venezuela and calling himself the acting president of Venezuela, it tells you this world is now, you know, the big boys do what they want to do, and like that is it. And the next headline says Trump is now considering punishing countries with tariffs if they don't back the U.S. controlling Greenland. U.S. President Donald Trump suggested Friday that he may punish countries with tariffs if they don't back the U.S. controlling Greenland, a message that came as the bipartisan congressional delegation sought to lower tensions in the Danish capital. Trump for months has insisted that the U.S. should control Greenland, a semi-autonomous territory of NATO ally Denmark, and said earlier this week that anything less than Arctic island being the U.S. in the U.S. hands would be unacceptable. Can you imagine that? Anything short of they owning Greenland is unacceptable. During a non-related event at the White House about rural health care, he recounted Friday how he had threatened European allies with tariffs on pharmaceuticals. "I may do that for Greenland too," Trump said. "I may put a tariff on countries if they don't go along with Greenland, because we need Greenland for national security. So I may do that," he said. This is interesting. Then we go to this one that says Russia warns Trump that he will trigger the end of the world if he captures Greenland. So the Russian government has warned that if they take over Greenland, because taking Greenland means the U.S. proximity or closeness to Russia becomes much, much larger. You know, Alaska is close to Russia, and Greenland also gives them a wider area proximity to Russia, and Russia says they are not going to allow that. So let's see. This is the world we are in, where tensions are rising. You know, Iran has also this week killed several. The numbers will not be known, because they will not say the truth. Official numbers has it over 2,000 people killed in the protest, but conservative alternative sources are quoting close to 12,000 people have been killed in the protests, and it's been a bloody period in Iran. The U.S. threatened to attack and bomb parts of Iran if they were going to hang one of the, you know, the what do you call it, the protesters. They captured one young man, I think 26-year-old man or so, and they wanted to use him as a symbol to hang him after a quick trial and all. But the U.S. gave a quick warning that if they dare do it, I mean, so they had to back down. But they've really killed people, and their protest is basically cost of living has gone way up, inflation way up, their currency has plummeted, and you know, Iran is suffering from serious sanctions. So the economy is really, it's been reeling under these sanctions for years, for decades now. But their decision to, I mean, going into this nuclear energy thing, so-called nuclear energy, but ultimately it's the nuclear bomb they want to do because of Israel and the U.S. So these sanctions have virtually cut them off from a whole lot of Western things, the Western world. You know, they can't buy some machines even for their hospitals if it's developed in the West. So if they don't get things that they can't get a Chinese or a Russian version, then they don't have it. So they virtually have a very difficult situation. Their planes, because the larger planes, you know, is either Boeing or Airbus, and the sanctions forbid that they buy these planes, they buy the replacement parts, so many things. So the economy has been very, very tight. The oil too that they have, which is the backbone of the economy, the sanctions also restricts them from how the selling of it in the open market. So they just have to sell just a few friends, friendly nations that they have. So they are really struggling, and that's the essence of the protest. People hope that it would get to the point where it can topple the government so that they can have their freedom. You know, they've been under this bondage of theocracy where these Ayatollahs have been ruling them with the extreme Islamic rules, and from this is 79 or so till now, and they don't have their freedom. You know, women have to dress strictly. They have the moral police who walk in town. A woman who doesn't dress well, you can be arrested. I think 2 years or so ago, one lady was killed. I mean, arrested for not putting on the head covering, was arrested, taken to detention, and died in detention after being beaten. That one too, they had serious protests, people were killed, and so this current one looks like a continuation of that. But well, it's reduced a bit, but we don't know the outcome, how things will go. The Pope has been saying something which is very true and worrying, and for those who have been following the Western news, you know, of course not the mainstream news, because the mainstream news, they are all part of the problem the Pope is talking about. The BBCs and all are all in bed with the Islamic agenda going on in Europe, and you know, the Western society is just going down, it's falling. I mean, you watch some of the reports and it's like everything is anti-Christian. Now the UK, they are considering a bill which will even make it a crime, you know, to say anything against the other religion. And it's like everything is being made against Christians. And so the Pope said, Pope Leo the 16th, you know, so the 14th, calls out jihadist violence and warns of Orwellian-style ideology is eroding free speech in the West. So the pontiff tells diplomatic corps that freedom of conscience is under attack from democratic states claiming to protect human rights. During an address to members of the diplomatic corps on Friday, Pope Leo the 14th warned that Orwellian-style ideology is taking root in the West and undermining free speech. It is painful to see how, especially in the West, the space of genuine freedom of expression is rapidly shrinking, Pope Leo said. At the same time, a new Orwellian-style language is developing, which, in an attempt to be increasingly inclusive, ends up excluding those who do not conform to the ideologies that are fueling it. The Pope said freedom of conscience is also increasingly under attack. Quote, at this moment in history, freedom of conscience seems increasingly to be questioned by states
even those that claim to be based on democracy and human rights, unquote, Pope Leo said. This freedom, however, establishes a balance between collective interest and individual dignity. It also emphasizes that a true free society does not impose uniformity, but protects the diversity of consciences, preventing authoritarian tendencies, and promoting an ethical dialogue that enriches social fabric. The Pope also condemned jihadist violence and addressed the persecution of Christians, calling it one of the most widespread human rights crises today, affecting over 380 million believers worldwide. Here, quote, here I would especially call to mind the many victims of violence, including religiously motivated violence in Bangladesh, in the Sahel region, in Nigeria, as well as those of the serious terrorist attack last June in the parish of St. Elias in Damascus, he said. Nor do I forget the victims of jihadist violence in Cabo Delgado, Mozambique, unquote. In August, Fox News reported that international observers witnessed ISIS-aligned soldiers were beheading Christians and burning churches and homes in Central and Southern Africa, with some of the most brutal attacks happening in the nation of Mozambique. It is estimated that more than 60 million Christians have been displaced from their homes in the sub-Saharan Africa, facing threats of persecution, kidnapping, sexual violence, and in some cases, death from Islamist radicals. Now we go to the last about one news item. Open Doors US releases 2026 World Watch List report, and the sub is persecution is expanding. Indeed, if you follow the reports that over the years, if you've been listening to this program, persecution is expanding. More countries, you know, the numbers keep going up, the Christian attacks. And it's even more worrying when the numbers keep going up in the developed country, the Western countries, UK, Germany, places where Christianity was the fabric of the society. And now Christians are being persecuted in these same places. Churches are being burnt, churches are being vandalized, you know. I mean, thought police, you stand at a place and you are praying and you are arrested for standing at a place and praying. And I mean, no mean a place like the UK. And you would wonder, how can things be this way? But that is the reality. The West is really, really declining so fast. You know, most people don't know about this, but the Muslim Brotherhood, even some Muslim countries in the Middle East, like UAE, for instance, Egypt, and some others, they are even careful about them. They've even classified it as illegal. I mean, or like, you know, they branded them as traitors, or not traitors, but extremists. They are the, this Muslim Brotherhood agenda is what is permeating the West and destroying the fabric of their society. And America and you know, the West, Europe and all, that is what is affecting. And you see, the agenda is just unfolding every day. You see it playing out. I mean, there's this, I'll look for it one day if I find it, but there's this video in which one Islamic cleric in UAE was saying that he's amazed as to how the West, or like he was going to UK in this case, they've opened their doors to the Muslim Brotherhood and they are destroying their society. I mean, can you imagine this? I mean, because he says that they don't even, you see, they know. You see, these are the ones who are moderate, they are not the extreme, or they are more of like the moderates. I mean, they are not the extreme type. So they are even wary. Some of these people are even careful about the extreme type of. So they are surprised that the West is so blinded that they can't see the harm that this extreme, Muslim Brotherhood agenda is playing in their society, destroying their society, taking their freedoms away. And you know, the one of, if you read some of their plans, is to use political agenda and then giving birth, so population increment by birth, and then by marriage, and then by politics. So they are doing everything to get into political positions. And UK now, London, they've had their MP, their mayor for a long time. I mean, and you know, since he became the mayor, you know, the city is just going down. I mean, they have a number of cities and towns where, you see, they are ensuring that they are taking over. They are pushing. They are pushing. Now, just last year, now he took office early this year, New York, for the first time. They have their new mayor who is, you know, you know, so they go to Minnesota in the US, they are just there, the Somalis, and they are just, the numbers, they are increasing. There is an agenda going on, you know. And recently I saw one video, one of the Somali guys, and he was bragging and saying that it pains him that by the time they take over the US, President Trump will not be alive. See, what he's saying is a truth in the sense that they have a long, short-term, mid-term, long-term plan. So they know that eventually, one day, they will become the dominant force by population and all that, and authority. They will be in charge of the US one day. So if just that by the time they reach that position, President Trump is, you know, is age-wise, and by the time he will not be alive. So, but this is the plan. They have a plan. But the West is so blinded. So that's what the Pope was also referring to. All right, so let's get into the Open Doors report. Okay, Nonprofit Persecution Watchdog Group, Open Doors US, released the annual watch list, World Watch List, on Wednesday, which ranks the top 50 countries where Christian persecution and discrimination are at the record high. We are seeing a continuation of a multi-year trend where persecution is expanding, Ryan Brown, the CEO of Open Doors US, told the Christian Post. That number moved from 380 million to 388 million this last year. Christian persecution has reached an unprecedented scale worldwide, and the findings of Open Doors US show that the 388 million Christians facing high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith, more than one in seven, marks the an increase of more than 8 million compared to last year. Brown said there are multiple dynamics at play beneath the surface of such threats, but noted there is expansion of threats of levels of really extreme violence that are taking place. He added that much of it is concentrated in the sub-Saharan Africa, which is home to 14 countries on the watch list. The large region of more than 720 million people, nearly half of whom are Christian, and where one in eight Christians live in the world, remains a critical area of concern. Brown said Nigeria is at the center of a lot of the things going on, and the list notes that African country is the primary hotspot for deadly violence, accounting for the majority of the faith-related killings globally. Of the 4,849 Christians killed worldwide for their faith during the reporting period, 3,490 were Nigerian, which marks an increase from 3,100 last year, according to the report. Somalia landed as the second most dangerous country for Christians for the fourth consecutive year, and Wales Ali, who is the son of a Muslim cleric and converted to Christianity, recounted the violence Christians face there. Somali Christians are among the most extreme persecuted in the world, he said. You could be sitting in a cafeteria enjoying your meal, and somebody could come and attempt to decapitate you to cut your head off. Let me pause here. This week, just this week, I was having a chat with someone who went to Minnesota in the U.S. last year and was telling me how a pastor was telling him that during the weekday church programs, some of the Muslims will come, the women and all that, they will come. But then for Sunday, it's obvious that it's a service Sunday, so that one, they're afraid they can't come. So they pretend as if maybe they are going out to buy something or whatever, and then they will sneak into the church for fear of, they can't, because if they are seen that they are Christians, they will kill them. And then, you know, because Minnesota, they are in charge of the, I mean, it's their place. They are, so they are practicing their Sharia there. So they will kill the person. They can kill you and then bury you if they are, you know, the same day burial rule. So nothing like autopsy for police to see whether you were, you know, all that. No, 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 no. So honor killing. Your parents can kill you. I mean, and there are cases like that, you know, if sometimes it's amazing. You look at some of the reports. So your parents can kill you or your husband can kill you and that's it. You'll be buried that same day and that is it. Nobody will classify it as murder. So, I mean, this is exactly what this report is saying. And that's, people are really going through this. People are going through this where they have seen the light. They have seen, they've changed, but then because of the circumstances, some are still pretending. Yeah, they are just covering things up. But eventually, some, when they get the freedom to travel out of the town or the place or whatever, then they can express themselves fully. But on, for some, they are still under control, you know, so they still try to hide and then serve secretly. And this is where there are several reports where you have instances where when they either maybe a relative gets to see and all that, then they, you know, the family will just attack you for betraying them, you are an infidel and all that, and they just finish you up. So this is quite disheartening. It goes on to say that the list also highlights Syria, which achieved its highest ever score on the ranking system after experiencing the most significant single-year increase in Christian persecution recorded by any country since the non-profit ranking methodology began in 2014. The trend reflects intensified pressure on the Christian community amid ongoing conflict that has lingered for more than a decade. The militant Islamist group, the Hayat Hamir al-Sham, which took power after the Assad regime collapsed, at first engaged in dialogue and expressed the willingness that Syrians could worship freely and different faith persuasions would have a seat at the table, Brown said. Whilst we haven't necessarily seen the difficulties at the hand of the current of the central government, we have seen, due to the weak rule of law, that there have been vacuums of power that have been created throughout the country, and extremists have stepped in into these vacuums, he said, adding that there are Christians suffering everywhere because of similar examples of extremists filling a power vacuum. And the report goes on and on and on. But let me finish with this last news item, and very disheartening. I've been talking about this for a long time. Those who have been listening to this program, last year we talked about some of these things. Last 2 years, almost every year I've been talking about it. 11-year-old boy shoots and kills his father, guess what, after Nintendo Switch taken away. Video game. 11-year-old kills father over video game. An 11-year-old boy has been charged with homicide in the shooting death of his father in Perry County, authorities said. According to Pennsylvania State Police, officers were called to a home on South Market Street in Dakanon Borough around 3:20 a.m. Tuesday, January 13th, just this week, for a report of an unresponsive man. Court records obtained by WGAL News 8 said police filed 42-year-old Douglas Dyes dead in his bed from a gunshot wound to the head. The bedroom he shared with his wife was connected to their son's room by a closet, investigators noted. Douglas' wife told police she was asleep when a loud noise woke her. She said she smelled something like fireworks and tried to wake her husband up, but he did not respond. When he turned on the light, he realized that what she thought was dripping water was blood, according to the affidavit. Police said the couple's 11-year-old son, Clayton Days, then entered the room and yelled, "Daddy's dead." Troopers also reported hearing the boy tell his mother, "I killed Daddy." Investigators later identified Clayton as the suspect. Court documents state that Douglas and his wife adopted him in 2018. During the break, I was doing some research in these things, and some of the things I read, a boy killing the senior sister, various stories, and it's like this thing, when you talk about it, people think, you are being too hard, you are being too extremist, just allow them. It's very serious. It's very serious. These games, Xbox and PS4 and all these things, it's so addictive. They get so hooked to it, and then now recently someone was telling me of a boy who, this boy, he'd out to a very, calm boy, good boy and all that. And suddenly, because of these games, online games and all that, now when the mother stops this boy, the tantrums and, the way he's behaving now and all that, it's unusual. That's not how he was. This boy, you can virtually see a complete change in attitude and in behavior. Before the game was brought to the house, he was not like that. Now the game came, and now he has become a different person. So why can't parents see that there is a connection? This thing is destroying homes. This thing is undermining families. There are types of games. It's not every game that is demonic. Get it right. But there are some games that are purely demonic. But the danger is, you see, when somebody is involved in playing a demonic game, then obviously you can understand what is controlling such a person. It is under such conditions that if you dare stop the person from playing the game, offense, anger, and then whatever next comes to mind. Because you see, what will come to mind is not the person thinking, it's the demons that will influence the person, do this to the person. Like this boy who did this killing. After this killing, now it's like, what have I done? But the harm has been caused already. The boy who killed the senior sister, you do the killing, and then now, why did I kill my sister? Of all these things, there's one that I shared on this program, I think 2 years or so ago, where three girls who pulled knives and chased their mother out of the house. Their mother, and they bruised their grandmother. Three girls over video game. And you would ask yourself, for girls to take knives and chase their mother out of the house, had she not run out and stood there, they would have stabbed her. Because you see, when somebody pulls a knife and runs after you, clearly something is wrong somewhere. Had the mother not run out of the house? Because if they were able to attack, bruise their grandmother, can you imagine that, girls attacking their grandmother over a video game and chasing their mother with knives? Three girls. Tells you there's something more to it. So parents should not take these warnings lightly. They shouldn't, because the cases are there. This is not, the information is out there, the reports are there. the testimonies are there. Those who were in and are out, some testify how they were under the control of these things and now they are free. I mean, all these things are out there. So when you warn people that they should be careful how they give uncontrolled access to their children, it's not like we don't want the child to enjoy life or to enjoy the modern games and all the advancements and all that, but it's about the caution. It's about the caution. Okay, the program is Issues of Life. This is Eben. The station is Kumasi. It's Spirit FM in Kumasi. I'll be back after this break.
Song of ages to the Lamb, and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name. Your name stands above them all.
Hey, Frank, you needed me to give you some numbers for your deadline today?
Bob, yeah, I'm so glad you're here. Here, let me pull up the report.
Okay, make it quick. I've only got about 5 minutes.
Yeah, hold on. Let me check that. Oh, that's my boss's number. I'll call him later. Okay, I need the sales figures for the last quarter.
Sure, they're...
Oh, I'm sorry, that's my pager. It's my boss again.
Is your life busy? Full of deadlines?
Don't worry, I'll call him later. Go on.
Should I come back?
Cell phone. No, it's my boss. No, go ahead.
Sales for the last quarter were...
You've got mail.
Hold on. It's my boss.
God told us in the Bible to be still and know that I am God. Putting Him first will put the rest of your day in perspective. Have you taken time today to be still, to be quiet before God?
Frank.
Oh, Mr. Johnson. Sorry you didn't return your calls. I've just been working on that deadline.
I've been trying to tell you. I don't need that report until next week.
Oh.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Oh, beautiful song by Morris Chapman. All right, welcome back to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Eben. The program is Issues of Life from now, 8 to 9 p.m. So I just have about 14 minutes to finish this edition. But I'm using this last part of the program to talk about something briefly. You know, the song that I played was about your presence, and in your presence, in the presence of God, the presence. If there's one thing that we need this year, it should be the presence of the Lord. You know, the presence of the Lord is an all-encompassing package, because it's just like, you know, there are people who desire to be in the presence of the president, because when they are around the president, you know, it comes with the favors and the opportunities and everything. You know, I remember last week Sunday I was hosted on a station somewhere, another station in Kumasi, and we were talking about this. I was talking, the topic was about 2026, I mean, how to plan things, how to start the year and all that. And I was given this scenario that, you know, you can't be around the president and be concerned about your security, because if you are with the president, the security around the perimeter of the president automatically makes you also secured. I mean, nobody walks around the president and is concerned that somebody will steal the phone. I mean, because no phone snatcher or armed robber or whoever, I mean, can go close. No. It's not an option. They won't even think of, because the security around the president alone makes anyone around the president also secured. And that's how it is. If we have the presence of God with us, it comes with the package. So just as if you have the president, automatically some things, you benefit from some things. That's how it is with God. And even it's more, because the president is even a human. But when we are with God, dealing with God, the presence of God, it carries a whole package. That's why I like the way Moses put it in Exodus 33, verse 14 and 15. And he said, "My presence shall go with thee." This is God talking. "And I will give thee rest." Verse 15, Moses. And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." You know, Moses, he had, you know, a direct conversation with God. That was the beauty of the opportunity he had. Direct communication with God. So he was able to express himself and say it as it is. And he, Moses, telling God that if your presence will not go with me, go with us, then don't even carry us. That's how important he cherished the presence of God. That without your presence, then where are we going? What are we going to do? Because it's the presence that is everything. And that's how we should see our lives as Christians. That without the presence of God, who are we? Without the presence of God, what can we achieve? What can we do? Where can we go and things will work well? We are just exposed without the presence of God. And it's so important that we should, you know, unconsciously sometimes it's not something that you may be thinking about every day. Unconsciously, just forget about it. You don't really bother about it. But we should make a conscious effort to consider the aspect of we being conscious that we need the presence of God around us. We are also, we are particular about it. We pray about it. We are conscious about it. We also strive not to offend, because you see, when you have the presence of God with you, you're also careful how you live your life. You just can't be living a careless and reckless life, grieving and offending him. No. And you see, so in having the presence of God with us, or with you as a person, as I said, it's a package on its own. It comes with his protection. It comes with his provision. It comes with his mercies. It comes with his healing. It comes with his love. It comes with his everything. It's a package. So everything is associated with God. It's part of the presence of God. It's part of the presence. So if you have the presence of God with you, all other things add up to it, because it's a package. So things like, you know, Christians who say they struggle to live right and all that, those who are conscious of God's presence, it becomes easier for them to do right, because they know that, you know, when you are with somebody, there are some things you will not do. You are conscious of somebody being with you, so you will not do some things. That's how it should be. When we are conscious of God's presence, it should be difficult for us to do some things, because we know that, you know, God, I'm in the presence of God. I don't want to grieve him. I don't want to offend him. I don't want to make him feel bad and sad and worried and disappointed in me. That alone should be able to help you to live right. That should be able to help you to walk away from things which hitherto you were struggling with, because you are conscious of his presence. You know, there's one other song. That's right. That's what I was looking for to play, but, you know, the searching took time. So, I mean, that one, I like the words in it, but, you know, it's a long, the time is, that song is about 8 minutes. So, I mean, there's no way I can play it. But that one, in your presence, that's where I am. I mean, I'm strong. That's where I'm. I mean, it lists a number of things. And that's how, you see, we are stronger when we are conscious of the presence of God. When we are in the presence of God, or we are conscious of his presence, it makes it easier to express our faith. It makes it easier to express our faith. It makes it easier to trust in him. Because, you see, you are conscious that God is with me. Emmanuel, God with us. God is with me. You know, if you are that conscious, it becomes easier to really live the Christian life. It becomes easier to practice what you read in the Word of God. You know, so this year, if there is one spiritual thing that we would desire, that we would want to live our lives according to, it should be to be conscious of God's presence with us. And it's so important, because, you see, we are in an era where people do not fear God. Christians don't fear God. Some pastors don't fear God. It's as if God, I don't know, it's something else. I don't want to, it's a whole topic altogether to talk about. But the fear of God is missing, largely missing amongst many Christians. But you cannot be conscious of God's presence and not reverence his presence, reverence his personality. You see, so when you are conscious of his presence, fearing God becomes easier, because it's like, it's part of you. You know God is with me. You revere and respect and fear him. That is how it goes. So having the presence of God is so important. When you are conscious of it, the things which hitherto you would ignore, you just not pay attention to, now you pay attention to, because you are conscious of who is with you, who is in you. And that's why we should be very interested in living lives that please him. Not lives that please ourselves, or convenience, compromising lives that, well, makes us feel okay. When we are with him, we are conscious of his presence, it becomes difficult to compromise, I mean, in some things, because you know that I can't do this. And that is the type of Christianity that we should strive to live by this year. You know, it's very unfortunate that now it's like, some people don't even, they hear the word Christianity or Christians, and it's like, oh, I mean, it's like, they just don't see why they should regard, because the Christians they see around them, the lifestyles they are living, the hypocritical lives, the double standards, the double lives, the secret lives, the, all the bad things that the worldly people are doing, the Christians are also doing it at the workplace. So it's like when they say, you are also a Christian, I mean, it's like one of those people. I mean, they just don't have any reverence, any regard for Christians. And that's what is happening in some places now. Because then they hear the word, it's like, oh, we are the same. Because they hear pastors are doing this, and but the pastors they know are into this and are doing that and are doing this. So, I mean, a pastor once said, told me that sometimes we've got into a situation where sometimes even to put on the clerical is an feels uncomfortable going to some places, even in the clerical, because you know this is how some people have like they've just they are living lives, all sorts of lives in the name of the ministry, and they are, I mean, abominable lifestyles and all in the name of your men of God. So it's sometimes the people in the world just lump all men of God into one category as like munias and what, but that's not the case. They are genuine men of God. They are genuine people who are living their lives utmost, doing what is right. So you see, if we want to be Christians who people would see us as Christ-like, then the presence of God is what will make us Christ-like. That's, I mean, the only difference between us and the others. So a Christian who is Christ-like is the presence of God in that person that makes him separate compared to the one without the presence of God. So the one without the presence of God is the one who just lives anyhow, behaves, misbehaves, does whatever he wants, goes wherever he shouldn't. I mean, they just live the casual life, the carefree and the reckless life, because they just don't value the presence of God. They don't even think about it. They don't even care. But you and I should be conscious about it. Pray that you want to experience, you want him, you need him every day. You want his presence every day. You want to be conscious of his presence. And it makes a serious, serious, significant change in the way we live when we are conscious of his presence. And I believe as we make that a mission, that this year we want to feel your presence, we want to walk in your presence, we want to experience you in a different way, things will align in a different way for us as well. This has been Issues of Life. I'm Eben. Thank you for tuning in, and God willing, next week we'll be continuing the program. Good night, and God bless you. Okay, I think I have some messages. Okay, let me just read one. This is Sam Pichum says, all the news items shows this world is coming to an end. The Lord have mercy. Good evening, my brother. Yes, we need the presence of God. Thank you, and good night.